and Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard, women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Canned Laughter and Coffee. I am Renee Bernard, and tonight on the program, I have a debut author, Jay Garland, on the show. Woohoo! Welcome.
Woohoo me!
Woohoo you! I know. And it's Jay, I love your name. It's J-A-Y with an E.
Yeah.
And Garland, just like God intended it. Thank you for that. Have you done a lot of book signings yet?
None whatsoever, because I have an electronic book, and it's only been out like a week or so, and I don't know about these electronic signatures. I know they're coming.
They are. Well, they have, the KindleGraph has them, which is
bizarre. Yeah, you know what? A friend of mine who lives very close to me, I'm sure everyone has heard this name. She's a good friend of mine. Her name is Christy Craig. She writes a C.C. Hunter. And she has forged ahead with these KindleGraph things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there in amazement because there's a line for people to, you know, wanting her to sign books. And the first time she had a KindleGraph pushed in front of her, she's like, what do I do? And Christy, it's just crazy. So everybody had fun with it. So I'm excited.
Yeah. No,
one day I'll get that experience.
It's a blast. No, you will. What I was going to give you is, and this is totally unsolicited advice on my part, but I'm just saying, when people walk up and ask for a book signed, you ask them to spell their name. Even if their name is Susan. And let me tell you something. That's because people are hiding vowels and consonants in their words and in their names that you would never expect. So just so you know, because J with an E, you always have to ask, even if somebody walks up and says their name is Bob, is that Bob like I expected Bob, or is that Bob with two B's, or is that Bob with an A-U, or, because I've had some Susans with a Q come up, and it's like, you have got to be kidding me. So, just J with an E, I love that. All right, hey, everybody, it's jgarland.wordpress.com, and you want to pop over right now, and the book is The 25th Hour. Which,
it's a time
are you excited?
Travel.
Are you having fun with it?
Oh, my gosh, it is just, you know, I've been a writer for a long time, and I'm not going to go into how long. But
you don't have to. That's a rule.
My youngest was in diapers. He's not anymore, thank God. Well, anyway.
Or
like
they
I'm
are.
Saying,
you don't have to share that much information. That's
no,
okay.
It is so much more fun being a published author than working on my next novel. You know, that will always be, but this is something I've always wanted to do, is get that book out there for other people to read, and it's just so exciting. I'm getting some really cool reviews.
Hey, that's fun. Were you nervous about reviews? Did you think about that? Some people don't actually think about that until...
Yeah, to be honest, yes, I did think about them. I wasn't worried about them. It was just kind of like, this is not in my control. It will be what it will be. But I'm curious. And so far, I've had nothing but good reviews. Knock on wood, thank God, all of that. I'm sure now I will get one of those little one-star reviews or something.
It's just
so much fun.
It is fun. But see, you are smarter, though. You thought of it. When I had a debut, it never occurred, the review part hadn't quite occurred to me until after. And then I had like this panic attack because it was sort of a, oh, that's right. Now everybody gets to have an opinion.
Yes.
On this thing.
And
like,
yes, they, you know, their interpretation of what I've created is the most interesting thing for me.
Ooh.
They will point out things that I kind of forgot about. because I was so busy telling the story and making sure the character's hair color is the right color all the way through the book, and you know, all these little intricacies that you just have to squeege and fudge and work and mold, and then all of a sudden you've got this whole story, and there are things that you don't remember, but your readers will.
Oh, yes. They will track like a falcon. They will track, especially, well, you know, you're rolling now, but when you start doing linked books, that's when it gets really fun. Because
oh, no, this is my next book.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, okay, what was that guy's butler's name? Because now I've, you know, you really begin to have to track everybody if the books are connected. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'm the queen of spreadsheets. I can.
Are you,
I can,
that's the question.
Keep
I was
them
gonna,
together.
Some people do it with post-its.
Those things can move.
Yeah.
Those things post-its can get up and walk into the next room if you're not careful. Spreadsheet, I'm pretty cool with that.
That spreadsheets are brilliant. Yeah, the glue will give out on a post-it.
Yeah. There's
you'd
a puddle of colored paper on the floor, and oh my gosh, you know. Which hair color went with which character?
The bulletin board technique of plotting versus pantsing. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I heard a story of an author that used bulletin boards and, you know, notes and tacked up stuff. And literally, and I don't have these resources, but apparently she did, made her husband create an additional room because she ran out of space.
I can well picture that.
I'm thinking spreadsheet. See, she's kicking herself right now. She's like, I could have saved myself a $25,000, $30,000 renovation of my house if I'd just been using Jay Garland's technique, which is a spreadsheet. That was, yes, that's brilliant.
That's my accounting background, I will be honest. That's, you know, I've supported myself quite nicely through the years, and, you know, the business world has been kind, but my heart is in storytelling, and I just get that from my dad, I think. He was a people watcher.
See, I always think people that have certain professions, and I people are going to email me now, but things like that, like accounting or something that seems a little dry, I think you almost have to have a great imagination just to stay sane. Like, you know, just to... You've got a little something simmering in the background just to keep yourself going.
See, I grew up in a very rural community, and if you did not have a creative imagination, if you could not figure out how to entertain yourself, I mean, I did not grow up in town. I grew up on a ranch out in the country way far away. You had to pack a lunch to go to town to buy groceries. And
now that is I have never heard that description before. You had to pack a lunch to go into town to buy groceries. That is a distance.
Whenever, you know, like when I was in high school, the rule that my dad had was you back the car up to the gas tank. We had a big gas tank that was on the ranch. You know, there's all kinds of farm equipment. Everything needs gas. So when I would come home from school in the afternoon, I parked my car underneath the gas tank, and I didn't have to fill it unless I wanted to, but he would make sure that the gas tank was topped off just in case somebody had an emergency and you had to go to town, because town was quite a few miles down the road.
So town was a gas tank away is what you're saying.
Not quite, but seriously, you just didn't want to run out.
Oh, my goodness, I love
he
that.
He was a very well prepared guy.
Well, you kind of have to be self-sufficient, though. I mean, if you're living, you know, isolated like that, you can't be cavalier, I guess, about the details. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you have to make sure that, you know, you're prepared because, you know, it was, you know, I'll tell people I grew up on an Indian reservation up in South Dakota. And no, the first question is, no, I'm not any part Indian, but that's... That's just where my grandparents settled, and, you know, the tribe sold off the land, and it was really cool. It was a Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation up in South Dakota.
Ooh.
And, oh, my, that was a fabulous, fabulous way to grow up. but it was very desolate. And your neighbor was your way to get out of any kind of trouble, any emergency. If you were with, you know, we didn't have power all the time. And nowadays, if we have a hurricane, I live in far northwest Houston on the coast of, you know, the Gulf Coast. And if we have a hurricane, if we're out of power for anything, people are just devastated. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I've got candles.
Yeah, we're a little out of touch with the rustic. I lived in Florida, but we'd grown up, my dad was in the military, and there's just a certain self-reliance there, and you make do, and you fudge along, and whatever it is, squeeze and fudge, as you say. But, yeah, have you noticed that? People, I mean, oh, my God, I can't charge my iPod. Ah!
No. Well, I always say I want to have a writer's retreat cabin up in the mountains, and the one thing I have to have is internet access now, because I'm an adult and I'm a writer, and, you know, the days of me pretending I'm Sacagawea exploring creek bottoms is kind of gone. But, you know, you had to, that's where my creativity comes from. You have to figure it out.
That's true. But because of modern technology, that is kind of interesting to think about. You can be anywhere. It's like if you can mount a dish, you know, top of something, including a boat, you pretty much are good to go as a writer. You know what I mean?
A little bit of research goes a long way. You don't want to, you know, you want to know what you're talking about, but you don't put it all in the story. It just lends authenticity to what you're saying. The fact that I grew up on an Indian reservation doesn't mean I don't have to research that. If I'm going to write that story, I still have to know the facts. And facts change over the years, I've learned.
Mm.
People's perception of facts change.
There is that. Perception is everything.
It means a whole lot more than what, you know, we learned in fifth grade.
I hope so. I hope we're getting smarter about these things. I mean, I say that, and then every once in a while something pops up, and I'm like, really? Really, people? Really? Oh.
Well, there's something about keeping a fifth grader around, because they know how to, you know, fix all these electronic gadgets that we've just been talking about.
That's true. Yeah, when your IT tech person is under the age of 8, that's always a little humbling, at least for me.
Yeah.
That keeps me grounded, you know. But then again, I know, and you know, that the first thing I do is I turn something off, I count to 30, and then I plug it back in and turn it on. That really seems to be the basis for most IT tech support training that I've encountered over the years.
You know what? In life, we just have to kind of stop and reboot once in a while, too. As a human being. Exactly.
I think that's a book waiting to be written somewhere called Reboot Your Life.
Yes.
Reboot your career. Reboot your love life. Turn it off. Wait a few minutes. Turn it back on. See where you're at.
And that works for all of us.
Oh, my God. I have to tell you, I'm excited. The 25th hour, everybody. jgarland.wordpress.com. Go over and take a look. It just looks like such a fun story. And I love time travels. I miss them. And it's so exciting to see you tackling that and bringing that back in to the romance genre. And I just think that is so wonderful to see. And it looks like there's a murder mystery. There's all sorts of stuff going on there.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
It's a weird, I know it's a crazy show, but I'm so thrilled you did this. And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in for one more crazy episode of Canned Laughter and Coffee. And Ms. Garland, you are just going to have to come back. That's all there is to it, because we just barely got started, and there you go, we ran out of time. Okay, everybody, have a safe week, and I will see you next Tuesday for more Canned Laughter and Coffee. Good night, everybody.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.